Good morning. Hey, I'm gonna be,
Okay.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. We have some special guests with us this morning. Some of them are upstairs. They're junior and seniors at David Douglas High School, and they're all enrolled in the Hospitality, Tourism, and Recreation Career Pathway Program. Is that right?
Yes.
Good. Well, thanks for being here. And this morning, we're going to hear from three of them, Shelley, Trent, and Irina. Could you please come forward? Irina, I understand that your dad just became a citizen in February.
Yes, he did. A couple of weeks ago, he got his citizenship.
Would you please tell him congratulations from the Portland City Council?
Of course. Thank you.
Go ahead, and when you speak, if you'd state your name for the record.
Irina Courage. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Irina Courage, and I'm currently a junior at David Douglas High School. First off, thank you, Mayor Potter and the City Council members, for having us here today. It is exciting for us to come downtown and not only to tell you about our school, but to sample a little bit of what Portland has to offer guests who come to the city. After this, we'll go to the Hotel Vintage Plaza, enter the property, and then have lunch at the Greek Cuisine. I wish to tell you more about my past and how my family and I lived in Ukraine and only 6 years ago moved here to America. My previous years were spent in a little town in Ukraine called Dubno, which is only a couple of hours away from Kiev. You're probably more familiar with Kiev. When I was only 10 years old, my family made a decision to come to Portland, Oregon. It was a big risk. I was too young to understand the concept of starting out in a new country with only two bags in my hand. We knew it was a blessing for us to reunite with our family here and get an opportunity for a better education and employment. When my time arrived, we left Ukraine and jetted over the Atlantic Ocean, straight towards Portland, Oregon. Flying at night over the Columbia River, thinking it's a runway, was probably the most frightening thing. It was finally, 4 years later, it was finally my time to go to David Douglas High School. It was definitely a challenging experience to manage high school work and life outside of school. Everything was just so new to me, like going to school with over 3,000 other students who you might or might not meet during your 4 years at school. My junior year came around, and I was enrolled in a hospitality, tourism, and recreation class. I found myself more involved in school by doing volunteer work, and that made me enjoy school much more. I noticed that I became less grumpy and grabbed any opportunity I could get to help out. Hospitality, tourism, and recreation class is one of the 8 career pathways at David Douglas High School. This program used to be called a CAM, but that term doesn't seem to be very popular anymore. We kept the program and made it better for everyone. All of us here at junior level one of year of this program, we have learned about Oregon tourism and why people want to visit here. We have also learned about customer service and how the customer is always right, even when they're wrong. This is hard for high schoolers to understand. We are now studying the lodging industry, and then it's on to airlines, cruise lines, transportation, and recreation. Right now, we are even following the March Madness, something I thought was either a basketball or a football game, but now I see it everywhere. Texas A&M is going to win. We all completed job shadows in February. I went to Horizon Airlines. I was truly amazed at how many people work there to keep PDX International Airport on its feet. I believe one of the hardest jobs at the airport is being a ground worker, placing bags in the appropriate bins so they would reach the same destination as the traveler. At the airport, time, safety, and fast-paced environment is the only way to keep PDX number one airport in the nation. We have a college and career center at David Douglas where people like Ms. Murray, Ms. Lysak, and Mr. Butler help juniors and seniors with job shadows and internships. All students have to do them, so it's a big job. All sophomores have to take part in mock interviews, and all freshmen go on a company tours to learn more about the business world. Our class also becomes the tour guides of school when we have visitors. This helps with our public speaking skills. It's fun to show off our school. A few weeks ago, many of us participants in the Portland, Oregon Visitor Association trade show, where we had a booth and got to meet many people in the hospitality industry. This is where we met the nice lady who connected us with this program to come down here today. Great networking. This job shadow got me thinking of my future and what I want to do with it. I'm interested in going to Portland State University and study tourism business more closely. Once again, I just want to say David Douglas High School has opened opportunities and experiences for me I never thought were possible. Like, for example, today. Thank you so much for your attention, letting me share my personal experiences.
Thank you. All right. Hi, I'm Shelley Fonarath, and I'm also a junior here in the Hospitality, Tourism, and Recreation program. We call it HTR. It's a lot easier to say. I was born in Pasco, Washington. It's about 30 minutes north of Pendleton, Oregon, and I grew up in Clackamas, Oregon. My parents, they're originally from Laos. It's right next to Thailand. I'm not sure if you know. But they moved here when they were 16, and I'm very proud of them for being able to do that. They were here since they were, they've been here since they were 16. That's about the age that I am. And I know for sure that I wouldn't be able to do that, moving to a whole new different country, not knowing a word of English, and being able to support a family. Me and my sister have lived an amazing life. We've been blessed with all that they've provided with us. My sister is currently 19, and she goes to FIDM in Los Angeles, California, and she plans on being a fashion designer. At David Douglas, I've been a cheerleader for 2 years, and it's been an amazing experience for me. I chose HTR for my career pathway because I hope to become a pastry chef someday. So I am in the junior level HTR class, and this is my first year in the culinary arts program at DDHS. My teacher, Wendy Johnson, was a pastry chef in the industry and has inspired me to become one. In culinary arts, we have an in-school kitchen called the Kilt, where we serve teachers, students, and guests to the school. Everything is always handmade. We learn not only kitchen skills, but also front-of-the-house serving skills. I really like to see people enjoying what we made. It's nice to know that we can make something that other people enjoy. I've completed my job shadow in Stanford's in Clackamas, and it amazes me how much teamwork it takes to make one meal that is in front of you. Just this past month, I participated in the ProStart Culinary Competition at the Convention Center. This is a program sponsored by the Oregon Restaurant Association. We had two teams, the culinary and the management. I was on the management team. We got fourth in state, and next year we hope to do a lot better. In culinary arts and HTR, we do community service activities focused on helping students in our own school that may not have everything they need. We have an organization called the Celtic Heart that is run by two teachers and is the sole purpose to help DD students get whatever they might need to be more successful in school. The students get food, clothes for job shadows and internships, school supplies, money for haircuts, holiday gifts, whatever is needed. The Celtic Heart is a great way for both students and teachers to help kids in need. After high school, I plan on going to Johnson & Wales University in Providence, Rhode Island. This is the same culinary school that Emeril Lagasse went to, so maybe I'll be just as famous as he is.
Thank you. My name is Trent Gallagher, and I am currently a senior at David Douglas. I'm here to represent the HTR2 CAM class, or Career Pathway class, as we call it now. And this is a class for the senior level. The majority of the students that are in the HTR2 class usually come from HTR1, but there are a few students that transfer from different schools or kids who switch career pathway classes. Last year, I fortunately had the honor to be in Ms. Page's HTR1 class, where I completed a job shadow, which I completed at the Portland Beavers at PG Park. I thought that was a very humbling experience. I enjoy sports very much. I got to see the marketing aspect of the sales. I got to participate in the merchandising aspect of it. I got to put my comments and ideas down on designs like t-shirts and baseball caps, which I thought was very cool. I had mentioned earlier that I was very interested in sports. I have played football and baseball at David Douglas all 4 years. I've been a two-year varsity starter for football and baseball, and I swung my sophomore year for each. This year, my teacher is Miss Betty Cameron, that lovely lady over there. And in HCR2, we learn a lot about sales and marketing. We also learn the convention and meeting planning, some ethical issues about HTR. And we also learn the tourism geography. We plan on hosting, or we have planned, the homecoming spaghetti dinner. We've sold K&F coffee, which has been specially made for Dave Douglas. We sell smoothies at dances. We also have many guest speakers which come to our school and talk about some careers in the HTR field. Let's see. Next year, a lot of the seniors will be going off to college, and in the HTR 1 and HTR 2, we are able to earn credits for Mount Hood Community College, or we also might be able to transfer them over to local Oregon schools. They have a great program that I hear out in Mount Hood College. A lot of the money that is raised through the K&F coffee and the smoothies that are sold goes to the trip at the end of the year, which for the past 5 years, we've had the majority of the seniors go to Disney World and take part in the Disney Institution Youth Education Program. The student classes, the students take a class with Disney employees and get the experience of Disney World. You get to go on rides, learn the aspects of the business. I unfortunately won't be going. I have baseball this summer, and we travel to Phoenix. But, you know, it's a price to pay. Irina mentioned earlier that we start our portfolios our junior year, and then we finish them our senior year. Just a few, actually months ago, I finished my senior portfolio, which I have right here, if you guys would like to see. The front section of the binder is my senior portfolio part, and it goes back halfway, probably starts into my junior portfolio. I completed my senior internship at Embassy Suites during the Christmas holidays. They get really busy, and I guess this is the second year that they have hired six of our HTR students to come and help out during the busy holidays. I really enjoyed being at MBC Suites. It showed me, you know, how difficult it is to make a living, but also there wasn't one time where nobody took advantage of making light of a hard situation. Everybody, you know, had a good time, showed me that I could have a good time, and try to make it fun. Like some of the pictures in there, you know, I was with Dave Aldred, which was my advisor, and you know, we were taking silly pictures, but it was all in fun. So, another thing that we do for seniors is a senior venture project, which is usually a 1,500 to 2,000 word research paper with an argumentative thesis. And this year, I wrote mine on how a professional sport affects the city economically, how it affects other businesses such as hotels, restaurants, other small businesses, golfing courses, and then how it markets the city to somebody who may have never known anything about the city. Next year, I plan on going to Oregon State and majoring in exercise and sports science. I hope to be an athletic trainer. And I know all my experiences in the HDR CAM will help to prepare me to go off to college next year. I know what I want to do and how I'm going to achieve it, and I feel that the HDR program has given me those skills to become successful. I just want to take time to say thank you, Mayor Potter, and everybody in the city council members. We appreciate being here and to come down to City Hall and talk to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Can all the David Douglas students, teachers, and family members stand up? Let's give them all a hand. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here this morning. You did a great job.
Thank you.
And you represented your school, David Douglas, very well. And it's a great school. Thank you. City Council will come to order. Please call the roll.
Adams. Leonard.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to the City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. We'll begin with communications. Please read the first communication.
Item 258, request of Chris Smith to address Council regarding commission form of government.
And the students, anytime you wish to leave, you're more than welcome to, or you can stay and listen to all of this. Thanks for being here this morning. Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, members of Council. I'm Chris Smith, and we are now engaged in the conversation with the community phase of the discussion of reforming our form of government. And I'd like to just use this opportunity to express my appreciation of the commission form for a number of reasons. First, that we, under this form, get passionate leaders who can take that passion and effectively channel it into real change. So I'd like to appreciate Commissioner Leonard for his work on making our government more of a customer service kind of government with his work on things like permitting processes. Commissioner Adams isn't here, but of course I have to express my appreciation for his continuation of a legacy of passion around transportation in our city that has led to things like our streetcar and now to our push to become the first large city in the United States to achieve platinum bicycle status. Mayor Potter, I'd like to appreciate you for your work on community policing and, in general, the safety and security of citizens in our community. Commissioner Salzman, I'd like to appreciate you for your work on sustainability. And Commissioner Sten, of course, for your work on housing and a variety of other topics. I think that we have moved faster and more strongly on all these areas because we have the current form of government. I also believe that that form of government allows citizens better access to the process with elected officials at the heads of bureaus. I believe that citizens have a much greater opportunity to interact with bureaus and influence both policy and operations there. And finally, I'd like to express my appreciation to the citizens of Portland, who 7 times before have been asked whether they'd like to get rid of this commission form of government and have each time said that they like it a lot, as do I, and as I believe the voters will say again in a few weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 259, request of John Ryan to address Council regarding charter review. And John has a PowerPoint, which I'm going to put up here.
Give me one moment here.
When you speak, state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. One moment.
We're going to have to start the clock because
yes,
we have a time limit here. So go ahead and start the clock.
Good morning. My name is John Ryan. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'd first like to start by reading some Abraham Maslow. Eminent psychologist, when the philosophy of man, his nature, his goals, his potentialities, his fulfillment changes, then everything changes, not only the philosophy of politics, of economics, of ethics and values, interpersonal relationships, and of history itself, but also the philosophy of education, psychotherapy, and of personal growth, the theory of how to help men become what they can and deeply need to become. In some of my writing, I wrote about change a long time ago. I came up with three axioms of change. People judge at their own level of understanding, are vehement to their own level of ignorance, and ignorance empowers hatred. It's from a paper in 1999. From the play One Day from the Bureau Innovation Projects, the question was asked, what would it take for all these changes to take place? A uniform basis of communication and judgment. There are some dangers of people judging at their own level of understanding. There was a pre-filter specification that I wrote for public involvement. Public involvement spectrum was actually based on something else. And part of that specification was to define the ability to be heard and understood. I do have a platform for uniform basis for understanding and judgment that takes things out of the realm of opinion and what commonly might be known as politics. You know, opinion polls, one person versus another person versus a group. This is a way to compare and judge almost anything. It's called the palantiri, and I'm fully willing to offer it to for the use of the city. I think that good citizens are the riches of the city, and I'm very much honored and proud to be in service to Portland, Oregon, as was originally the intent. And that's all I have to say at this time. But I look forward to providing more information in the future. And basically what this boils down to is the energy of knowledge. Thank you very much for your time.
I'm sorry, I just have to ask. Your yes. sign-up says you're going to address regarding charter review. How did that relate to charter review?
This could definitely be used for charter review. It's Bureau Innovation and charter review.
I see.
You could compare both forms of government in a non-opinionated fashion.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Item 260, request of Maureen Lynch to address council regarding more assistance to ROCN, Portland Police.
Thanks for being here this morning. When you speak, if you'd state your name for the record.
My name's Maureen Lynch.
Please have a seat. Thank you. You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Just one sec before you start. Okay, I'm ready. I'm here to address the problem of commercial marijuana grows in houses in Portland. I'm not talking about the occasional pot smoker or the marijuana user. I'm talking about the lack of attention in Portland to address organized crime that gives a green light to do business in Portland. My RGA neighborhood has fallen victim to 3 marijuana grow house busts and is under more surveillance recently for 9 other houses in Portland neighborhoods were recently busted, with more coming. These houses are now covered with mold as a result of growing practices and pretty much destroyed. At a recent neighborhood RGA meeting, people feel that the livability is severely threatened, and the best approach to resolve livability was to increase the financial support and manpower to the Oregon Regional Crime Narcotic Agency, known as ROCN, who deals with these problems. My understanding is that manpower needs to be increased to at least 24-hour officers from their current staff of 8 to 12 staff members at ROCN. The drug and the vice department has recently been cut from 2 shifts to 1 shift. Accountability belongs to the owners and growers of these drug houses. They should be the ones that are responsible to pay for the power stolen from PGE and PPNL and any other cleanup to restore the house to healthy, status with no mold or contaminants. Drug dealers have a lot of money, they pay no taxes, and they look at this as a business venture that flaunts itself in the face of hardworking citizens and police, not to mention a decrease in the tax value because of the downslide of our property values. Merely attending a class for owners and for potential renters isn't effective enough. One of our recommendations was that the city needs to have a stronger policy for land owners' accountabilities. And I would like the city council, if they chose to do this, which I hope they do, to work with the police and the ROCN for their recommendations and how to make this most effective for their work. In British Columbia, these growing problems in organized crime was not addressed in a forceful manner, and it snowballed rapidly. ROCN officers in our neighborhood meeting stated that organized crime is now moving from British Columbia to Portland and other Northwest cities because of tightening borders. The ROCN is finding more frequent drug manufacturers in our Portland neighborhoods. Last night at a neighborhood meeting, I asked for a show of hands for people that would support what I had to say. The room was filled with people, and they had raised their hands. I have lived and worked in Portland all my life, and people like me just don't want to live in a city with a drug problem that attracts criminals and organized crime with financial budgets that can't meet the livability and safety of our citizens. Your decision affects our present and future directions of Portland and will this continue to be the city of roses, or will this become the city that gives a green light to organized crime? Thank you.
Could you give a copy of your remarks to the...
You know, these are just my handwriting.
That's okay.
You don't mind?
We have your home. I'll have someone from the police bureau call you.
Do you consider it a problem?
Pardon?
I want to know if the council would consider what I said a problem. That's what I really want to know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 261, request of Bob New to address council regarding Earth Day celebration.
Good morning. Give us 1 second here.
Yep.
If you could give your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Bob New. I'm a volunteer with the City Repair Project as the Earth Day Coordinator. I want to thank you, Commissioner Slotsman, and Portland City Council members for hearing me speak this morning. The 2007 Earth Day Coalition extends an invitation to you to speak at the Earth Day celebration Planting Seeds of Community at Woodlawn Park on Saturday, April 21st, 2007. We hope that you can speak to Earth Day participants about the importance of our Portland parks being used as community gathering places by individuals and groups in local communities. The 2007 Earth Day Coalition, an all-volunteer effort with an amazing collection of individuals and organizations, was formed after the Woodlawn Neighborhood Association overwhelmingly welcomed the Earth Day celebration to their Northeast community almost a year ago. Since April 2006, many members of the Woodlawn neighborhood have been passionately involved with the planning process for the Earth Day celebration, which has truly allowed them to plant seeds within their own community. Over 100 volunteers from around the Portland area have already become involved in less than a year with the planning of Earth Day in the Woodlawn neighborhood. Their efforts have been focused on creating a community-supported event sponsored completely by local businesses and organizations. Hundreds of individuals volunteering their time and energy for Portland's largest celebration, Earth Day celebration, are providing a great public service for the city of Portland. This year's Earth Day celebration, with the theme Planting Seeds of Community, will showcase close to 150 sustainable businesses and organizations, a kids' village organized by students of the Woodlawn School, 3 stages of live music and entertainment, a full effort to recycle all materials, bicycle rides to the celebration from starting points all around the city, partnerships with the City of Portland to offer volunteer opportunities to clean up graffiti and trash in the Woodlawn neighborhood, a health and wellness village, Woodlawn community garden workshops, and a better transportation fair. It's going to be a truly fabulous celebration. So on behalf of the 2007 Earth Day Coalition, we are also asking to have the Portland Parks and Recreation fee waived, which has been requested to secure Woodlawn Park for the celebration, in the spirit of allowing public gathering places to be free and open to public use. The Earth Day Coalition does not charge any fee for the participants of the celebration, and during Earth Day, there are no fences. There is a free flowing of sharing of information, and the glorious joy is in the air as people celebrate with friends and neighbors they might have not seen all winter. In the packet I have given you this morning, I have included the Earth Day sponsor letter, a budget, and an invitation to attend our fundraiser at the Village Ballroom in the Woodlawn neighborhood on April 6th, which is coming up on a Saturday. The 2007 Earth Day Coalition is honored to be part of this beloved celebration that helps connect people in so many ways. We'd love to talk to you about our plans for this special day, and if you're interested in meeting to talk about this request, or if anybody else in the room is interested in talking about this, helping to support the celebration, you can contact me at Earth Day at City Repair or visit our website, cityrepair.org. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we do the consent agenda now? Is any member of the council want to remove anything from consent agenda?
Excuse me, Commissioner Leonard, we should hold the consent agenda since it has some emergency items on it.
Okay. Until the mayor gets back. So we'll go back to the 9:30 time certain. If you could read that.
Item 262, accept the master plans for Whitaker Ponds Nature Park as a guide for future development and management of the park.
Thank you. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President and member of the council. I'm pleased to present the new master plan for Whitaker Ponds Nature Park. This park, here's the master plan. I think we all have a copy of it. This park is truly one of our city's gems. Well, maybe a diamond in the rough right now. But what we are proposing today will turn it into something everyone in the city will be able to appreciate, especially our school children. Over the last 17 years, the natural area of the park has been transformed from a site filled with junk cars and rundown houses to a partially restored wildlife habitat that thousands of school children visit every year. They come from both throughout the city to learn about the hawks, the falcons, and other species that inhabit Columbia Slough. They learn also about watersheds and what individuals can do to be responsible stewards both locally and on a national level. What is particularly gratifying about this work is that over those 17 years, it's been done by a true collaboration of agencies and organizations. It started in the beginning, back in the early 1990s, and continues today. And it started with Ed Washington, a former Metro Councilor at the time, who brought the ponds to the attention of Metro staff. He has also helped assemble the various partners to create the broad-based coalition that thrives today. There are more challenges ahead as the ideas proposed in the master plan begin to take shape. One I wish to immediately call out is the Lakeside Little League. Council will note that the baseball field contained within the boundaries of this master plan. As the Parks Commissioner, I commit to Lakeside Little League that we will not retire baseball fields at Whitaker Ponds before replacement fields are constructed at Thomas Colley Park. Due to the foresight and recent funding by Council, Parks is moving forward with a master planning process for Thomas Colley site, which is approximately 1 mile from Whitaker Ponds, and sports fields have always been envisioned as a part of that park development. So I'm confident that with the partnerships that have been forged, we will overcome these challenges. With leadership from the Columbia Slough Watershed Council, the business community, neighbors, and public agencies, and the Lakeside Little League, we will all be focused in the coming years on how to make Whitaker Ponds Nature Park an exceptional educational resource for future generations. We now have Janet Bebs from Parks and Recreation, Chuck Harrison, Chair of the Advisory Committee, Susan Bartel from BES, I don't see them. Jane Van Dyke, Executive Director of the Columbia Slough Watershed Council. Oh, I see Susan Bartel. And David Yamashita, Senior Planner in Parks, who are going to talk, although maybe Janet's the one that's going to talk.
I'm just going to do a quick introduction, and then they'll come up afterwards. I'm Janet Bibb, Strategic Project Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation, and I'm delighted to introduce the Whitaker Pond Nature Park Master Plan for Council's acceptance today. It's the latest master plan Portland Parks and Recreation has prepared, and one of many that need to be done to give direction to our system. Whitaker Ponds, as Commissioner Salzman indicated, is a very special site for many reasons. The former junkyard has been reclaimed and restored to the city's premier site for environmental education, a symbolic gesture that's also important, I think. Management and development of the site has been done through a collaborative effort that involves the Columbia Slough Watershed Council, Bureau of Environmental Services, and the business community. It truly represents the kind of collaboration that the city aspires to, working with other agencies, the nonprofit sector, and the business community towards a common goal. To demonstrate this support, I handed out a letter of support from Jim Desmond at Metro. And Metro has played that pivotal role of securing the site with their bond funds in 1995. So you have Jim Desmond's letter in front of you showing Metro's support of this effort. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge the work of the Citizen Committee that worked on this master plan. This committee work always takes a long time and stretches people to address a diversity of issues. Chuck Harrison, chair of the committee, Mark Hansen, teacher with Portland Public Schools, Jeff Lee, Lakeside Little League, Erwin Bergman, Cully Association of Neighborhoods, and Jim Wentworth Plato Cully, Mike Houck, urban naturalist and member of our park board, Chuck Sams, former executive director of the Columbia Watershed Council, Susan Barthel, and Carrie Hampton from, Susan Barthel BES, and Carrie Hampton from Portland Public Schools. These people all put a lot of collaborative time together, and many of them are here today to tell you about their efforts. So I invite David Yamashita, Susan Barthel, and Jane Van Dyke to address you. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet, and thank you, commissioners. My name is David Yamashita. I'm a planner with Portland Parks and the project manager for this master plan. What I'd like to do very briefly today is just summarize the park's existing conditions and go over some of the plan recommendations. As you can see from the boards up here, the site is about 25 acres. It's north of Northeast Columbia Boulevard and east of Northeast 47th Avenue. As Janet mentioned, the park was acquired in the early 1990s by Metro and BES, and it was filled with junked cars. And through the work of Metro and BES, it was cleaned up, and BES took the lead on restoring the ponds and in creating environmental education programs. The first master plan was done in 1995 by Metro, and in that plan, it really established the direction of the park as a nature park and natural resource area. The plan recommended that the park focus on restoration of the ponds, environmental education, and community access for use of the park. Many of the improvements and recommendations in that plan have been implemented over the last 10 years, and that's why we felt there was a need for a new plan. Just a quick word about the planning process for this project. We did set up an advisory committee, as Janet mentioned, and there were representatives from the business community. Chuck Harrison from the Halton Company was the chair, and Chuck unfortunately had something come up yesterday afternoon, so he can't be here today. But we also had two people from the Kelly Association of Neighbors, the Lakeside Little League, Portland Public Schools, the Watershed Council, the Parks Board, and BES as well.
If I could, is it okay to speak?
Okay.
Because this is an update, we didn't have to revisit a lot of the
basic issues that had been done in the 95 plan. So there are really three basic issues that we dealt with here. One is to improve the trail system, or to think about improving the trail system, to make it more accessible, to think about a loop, and to think about a connection up to 47th Avenue, maybe a new sidewalk at some point, because a lot of school children visit the site after getting off the bus on Columbia Boulevard. Ideally, there would be a connection from the site to Northeast Columbia. This is problematic, as you know, because this is owned by the school district, and we have no control over what happens here. But we thought, the committee felt that it was important to show some kind of connection. In general, the plan proposes more human use on this side, and then it decreases to this end. This becomes more of a natural resource area. That's why you don't see as many trails up in this area. The other part of the plan was to really get into the restoration of the site. I mean, this is partly what Portland is about, sustainability and improving our natural resource value. So in this plan, what we did was to take the whole restoration idea a step further, and it's in the plan. We came up with, our natural resource staff has something called the desired future condition, and they propose specific habitat types for different areas of the pond. So for example, along the edges of both the west and the east pond, it shows, it recommends emergent marshes along the water's edge to improve both water quality but also improve habitat values as well. And finally, one of the big ideas was to think about an environmental education center in this corner of the site. That through the generosity of the Buns, who are a couple that owned the property here, we were able to acquire this piece here. And that opened up all kinds of opportunities for an environmental education center. Right now, if you've been to the site, there's a little house that's very small. That's maybe about this big that BES has. They use that little living room for all kinds of programs, and it's very inadequate. So the idea is to build a new environmental education center, and so it can really reach a lot more people than it does now. It would also be used for community events. That was the idea, again, about improving community access. So you can imagine a continuation of Explorando, which is a fair that BES holds, and also just more programs as well. The development of the center would be done in partnership. That was a key thing that's come out of here. But the Columbia SLU Watershed Council has taken the lead and has been really responsible for helping us think about this new education center. And there's an indication that they'd like to continue that kind of leadership as well at the site. So it's another great partnership. And then finally, on the issue of the Little League fields is something that came up in the 95 plan, and we had to deal with it as well. It's a difficult issue because, as I said, this is the school district property right in here, and we don't have any control over that. And that's the only way for the Little League folks to get into the site. Right now, there's an easement that Portland Public Schools has offered to the city that we can pick up. But the idea is that at some point, as part of the master plan, this would be converted to habitat. And as Commissioner Saltzman said, in the plan, there was a statement about how relocation would not occur until replacement fields are found. And researching the Cully Park site, it seemed that that could work. So that's where we are right now.
Two ball fields.
Right now, you're right. There's this field, and this is Fallible Field right down in here. But you'll notice that part of it is also on school district property as well. So that's another dilemma to this. But with that, that's really a summary of the master plan. And I'd like to introduce Susan Barthel from BES, and BES is a landowner, and then Jane Van Dyke, who's the executive director for the Columbia SLU Watershed Council.
Good morning. I'm Susan Barthel. I'm a staff person with BES's Watershed Services Program. And I'm here today to speak in support of the master plan, in part because we've been so involved in both the acquisition of pieces of Whitaker Ponds and development. We're developer and user of the site. David's done a very good job of introducing what is and what might be there, but a couple of pieces that are significant for us are evident if you look at this map of the Columbia Slough watershed. This location is right in the middle of the watershed. It's significant because we've been able to construct a constructed wetland that treats stormwater that used to formerly flow directly into the ponds, leave a slick, and has left a delta of sediments there. We have a constructed wetland that now serves us extremely well when we talk about stormwater issues in this city and how we can address them, how we need to address them. We have an active education program for adults and neighbors, Explorando, which is targeted towards the Hispanic community in conjunction with other partners, Canoe the Slough, Soup on the Slough. Our city restoration, watershed restoration program began here. We've installed more than 7,000 trees and shrubs here, and it's a place where we take people to talk about what do you do in an urban area to clean water and restore habitat. There's a native plant botany garden and many, many international visitors. One of the things that I was thinking about when we had the students from David Douglas talking is that not only do we have 178 species of birds that visit this pond and area each year, but I personally and many other staff members have taken international visitors who are on their way to the airport or are coming from the airport or are here in Portland to see what we are doing, both watershed-wise and environmental education-wise, to Whitaker Ponds. They like it because it's not fancy, and they're also a little concerned because it isn't. So I would urge you, as you look at the recommendations of the plan, to think about how this has provided a premier place for students, for adults, for workers on lunchtime walks, to look at what we're doing for watersheds, our waterways, our stormwater, and restoration issues. So please come see the new owlets that are hatching. Pull some ivy and some yellow flag iris. Bring your binoculars. Bring your kids. And we hope we'll bring the checkbook so that we can move ahead with the projects that are listed. Thank you. We'll be there as one of your partners.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Jane Van Dyke, currently the Executive Director of the Columbia Slough Watershed Council, and happy to get to go to Whitaker Ponds every day to my work. As you know, the Watershed Council brings together that diverse group of stakeholders that live and work and play within the Columbia Slough, and we all share that common interest of the benefit for the slough itself as well as the watershed. Our Watershed Council began meeting in 1993 before the Whitaker Pond site, but shortly after the site was acquired, the council moved there, and it's been the site of our offices as well as our classroom and educational activities since then. We're located in a very small place, as David pointed out. Probably I was thinking about 900 square feet of space for four staff members as well as the students that come there. We're fortunate that many improvements have been made to the Whitaker Pond site, not only the cleanup that was mentioned earlier, but we've built a floating dock with our partners that has access, so students actually get to go out on the water to collect water samples as well as macroinvertebrates. We have an eco-roof outdoor shelter that's used for an outdoor classroom. There's also an informal boat launch that we use for our activities, as Susan mentioned, Canoe the Slough and Explorando, as well as available to the public that want to go down and get on the Whitaker arm, which can take them out to the main slough itself. As the council mission is to foster action to protect, enhance, restore, and revitalize the slough, we have a number of programs and projects beyond Whitaker Ponds, but all focusing on water quality, protecting fish and aquatic life, and providing land and recreational opportunities, as well as the educational component we talked about. We've mentioned students. Over 4,500 students came to Whitaker Ponds last school year as part of their activities. We call it Slough School. It focuses on K-12, but we also have students from college. We had some Lewis and Clark students yesterday out to the site, as well as taking a tour of the Columbia Slough. And our students mostly come from the watershed itself, from the neighborhoods north and northeast Portland. And our activities include you know, great things, hands-on science, getting wet, getting dirty, things that kids can't always do in the classroom, as well as activities throughout the year, summer camp, service learning, and restoration plantings. As Susan mentioned, we have done a lot of plantings at Whitaker Ponds. It's really been an improved site for habitat, and we think there's more to come. And part of that restoration activities have included removing ivy and blackberry and adding the native plants. I was told about 11,000 plants, so who knows? Maybe it's 18, and maybe it's between 7 and 11. But students, as well as the BES crews, have worked out there. We are very supportive of the future vision of the master plan. One, you know, really protects Whitaker Ponds as that special place, an urban green space. Those remnant wetlands and ponds that were so common in Portland are really captured there at Whitaker Ponds. But also, as David pointed out, a site to have a real educational facility. It's great the kids get out, but it'd be wonderful in the weather that we have here to have a classroom that can really accommodate more than 15 or 20 students at a time, as well as a place for staff to do their work. So we're very excited about the master plan, its vision for improving the habitat, as well as an educational facility and the recreational component that's there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I think that completes the invited testimony. I think that's probably public testimony.
Okay.
We have 14 people signed up. Come up three at a time. First will be Jeff Lay, Nehemiah Vaughn, and Nicholas Wickliffe. They'll be followed by Aaron Bergenau, Dan Thomas, and Mike Houck.
And unfortunately, with 14 people, we'll probably have to stick to 2 minutes. So if you could be as concise as possible, appreciate it. Go ahead.
Good morning, City Councilman. My name is Jeff Lee. I am a committee member of the Whitaker Ponds planning process. I'm also a former president, vice president, coach, and manager of the Little Leagues, and I have 3 children who have played baseball down there. As stated by the committee here and the parks, this is a very special place, and everybody at Lakeside agrees that this is indeed a unique diamond in the rough, if you will, throughout the city and the Northwest. We agree that this is a very special place for learning and an environment that is great for kids, parents, and the Coley community. Where we part ways is that the parks would like to eliminate the ball fields down there. Now, Little League is an organization that, yes, we teach baseball, but we also teach citizenship, community, and respect for authority and property, and we teach that on a daily basis down there at the ball fields. If you come down to the ball fields, and I would invite you to come down April 7th at 9 o'clock for our opening ceremonies and see the facilities we have and see the kids and the parents that are involved down there, you'll see that it's more than just baseball they do. We've maintained these fields for 55 years. We have built most of the facilities down there with citizen involvement, volunteers, and kids raising money from the community. This is not a city home. It's a community home. Lakeside community has low-income housing people that have been built there. They have low incomes and parents working multiple jobs. They come down here, they lend us their kids for a day, and we do the best we can to teach them citizenship and involvement in the community. If you take these parks away from us and give us the Coley neighborhood parks, you give us Delta Park. The kids cannot work on the fields. The parents can't volunteer down there. Basically, you've just turned it into a city park where we cannot teach the values of Little League and citizenship to the kids and the parents that help us out.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Nehemiah Vaughn. Thank you, City Council, for being here this morning. I'm here to carry the torch of Lakeside Little League. I understand the concerns of the Whitaker Ponds, but this is a place where there is unity in the baseball park. As Jeff says, we are here not only for the parks, but we're here for the kids. Keep the kids out of drugs. Keep the kids out of violence. Parents' involvement. Volunteer. And again, ownership of that field. I am a board member of Lakeside Little League. I am a volunteer. I'm the chief umpire for the Little Lakeside, and I do appreciate the time that is given of my volunteering services to this park. If this park is taken away, what happens to the kids? Where do the kids go? What happens to the baseball fields? Do we become a master plan of a big park where there's no volunteership, there's no community involvement, there's no parents involvement, there's no volunteers for the kids? These are my concerns today about this park. This is a great park. It's been here for 55 years. The Falbo family has been in this park for years. We have great volunteership for this park. It is a great ownership of a lot of people who have volunteered and not only have put people into minor baseball, to major baseball, and to scholarship programs, and into professional baseball. I have to say today that I'm here on two concerns. One for the lakeside, and the other is for, I understand, the environmental quality ship that they're trying to put there. But today I'm here to represent Lakeside. And God bless us both, and I think we can come to a great settlement on this. Thank you.
For the council, my name is Nicholas Wycliffe. It's an honor to address you, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm a product of Lakeside Little League. I played Lakeside Little League in the early 80s. I came from a single-parent home. I am now, again, God bless, a Rosarian. Rotarian, the Salvation Army board member. I've probably given more money away than I make. I owe it all, a lot of it, to the Salvation and the Sanctuary of Lakeside Little League and the volunteers down there. You've offered this alternative site, which to me is not even close to having the real thing. It's next to Columbia Boulevard up there. That's a haven. I mean, right now, I mean, look at what you have. We're going to be across the street from the nudist bars and the drug peddling and everything else that's up there on Columbia for this new slated site above the landfill. To me, that's 10 years off. That's way off. It's not even close. We do accept the situation that we're in. It's not our property. Again, and I'm, as a business owner, I understand that. It's not mine to say what you do with it. But I would like a concession, at least to have one field remain. Again, even if it's used very sparingly and we all have to share it, I like to have one field remain. And I really am concerned about the fact that should you do move us totally off the property, are those fields going to be up and ready, and are we going to have the same type of responsibilities in grooming and maintaining that? I learned a lot of responsibility on down at Lakeside, taking care, again, of the property. I mean, even last year, during their work in the concessions, mowing lawn, volunteering time and efforts for these kids down there. And I know that it's a sad loss if we have to go. As far as the ecology at Lakeside, yeah, I've seen hawks, birds, red tails, all types of things down there. But right now, it's a de-icing place for the airport. There's no ecology down there. Most of it's dead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we'll have Erwin Bergno, Dan Thomas, Mike Haupt. They'll be followed by Chuck Falbo, Larry Mills, and Mary Lou Falbo.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Erwin Bergman. I'm here to support the 2006 Whittaker Pond Master Plan and ask that you accept and approve this master plan as presented. I have been working with David on the steering committee, both on the 95 master plan and the 2000.